This morning, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is our passage this morning, and once you've found that, you can also flip over to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 10 through 13 of Philippians 4 as well. As we get ready to turn our attention to God's Word this morning, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn to Your Word, we ask that out of Your glorious riches, You will strengthen us with power through Your Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of You. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now turning over to Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. And I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Boys and girls, and people of God, I'm such a happy sheep, Sammy thought as he grazed contently in the lush pastures. He looked up and he noticed a sheep in the next pasture looking longingly through the fence. He also noticed that the other pasture was not as nice as his. I never noticed how many rocks and how little grass are in that pasture, he thought. Sammy ambled towards the fence. Hi, he called to the other sheep. What's your name? I don't have a name, the sheep said. Sammy tried not to appear shocked, but he couldn't imagine a sheep not having a name. Then he noticed that the sheep was very skinny and that flies were buzzing around her head. You sure seem like a happy sheep, the little sheep said. Of course I'm happy. I have the best shepherd in the whole world. I know that I will never want for anything. Well, how can you know that? Because my shepherd loves me, and he always cares for me, Sammy answered. I don't understand, the little sheep said. Look at this pasture. There's never enough grass to eat. I'm always hungry, and our water isn't very good either. I'm sorry, you're hungry, Sammy replied. I always have enough food and water because my shepherd provides everything I need. Do you mean that you never have to walk through scary valleys or climb high hills to get to different pastures? Oh, no, I don't mean that I never have to go to hard places, but my shepherd is always with me. And he helps me go through those hard places. But what about the enemies waiting to attack you? The little sheep asked. My shepherd always guards me, no matter how dangerous it is. He would even lay down his life to protect me. I wish I had a shepherd I could trust, the little sheep moaned. Talking to the little sheep made Sammy grateful for his shepherd. He also felt sad for the scrawny sheep and wanted to show kindness to her, but he didn't know what to do. Then he had an idea. Can we be friends? Sammy asked. He noticed the little sheep's eyes brightened. So he continued, since you don't have a name, I'm going to call you my friend. And the little sheep seemed to stand a bit taller, and she certainly looked happier. I like that, she said. I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same fence, Sammy laughed. People of God, as we consider Psalm 23 together this morning, our focus is on the contentment that is ours in Christ. And the question for us to consider is, do you have enough? Do you have enough to be happy? Do you have enough to satisfy your desires? Where do you find your comfort, your security? Boys and girls, Sammy found his comfort and security in his good shepherd. Our good shepherd is Jesus Christ. Would you describe yourself as a content person? Our true character is revealed when we go through difficult times. Tough times or financially tight budgets reveal the things that we may have been able to cover up when things are going well and we were living comfortably. But it also reveals that the source of our comfort and even contentment might crumble, and we have to face the truth that we were placing our comfort, our security, our satisfaction in something that's fading, in something that's temporary. In Psalm 23, when David says, I shall not want, it's a statement of confidence. He's basically saying, there is nothing that I need. There is nothing that I lack. When the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing else that I need. He completely takes care of me. I shall not be in want. And that teaches us that because the Lord is our shepherd, we're not going to lack anything. We're not going to need anything because the Lord always provides. There's nothing we don't have when the Lord is our shepherd. There's nothing that I need if the Lord is my shepherd. And in many ways, David isn't working on being content here, because he's already found that contentment in his Lord, in his shepherd. I shall not want. People of God, is that your statement of confidence as well this morning? There is nothing I need. There is nothing I lack because the Lord is my shepherd. Just like Sammy, the sheep was taken care of by his good shepherd, boys and girls. In Christ, we have all that we need. There is nothing that I lack. Now, how do we get to the point of this contentment, like we see expressed here in Psalm 23 and by Paul as well? How do we come to this point of stating and declaring that there's nothing I need, there's nothing I lack, simply and only because the Lord is my shepherd? Well, this morning we'll be answering that question in two ways. It's a little different from, for those of you taking sermon notes this morning, we have 2 points this morning. First, we'll be looking at a discontent fence crawler. And then secondly, we'll be looking at a content sheep. And so first, a discontent fence crawler. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing that I need. However, in spite of this, there are still some of us and many of us who aren't content with God as our shepherd. We're dissatisfied. We always feel like the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, and we never realize all that we have in the pastures that we're currently in. And so we're discontent fence crawlers. W. Philip Keller was a shepherd in Eastern Africa, and he explains what a fence crawler is when he says, I once owned a ewe whose conduct exemplified exactly this sort of person. She was the most attractive sheep that ever belonged to me. Her body was beautifully proportioned. She had a strong constitution and an excellent coat of wool. Her head was clean, alert, well-set, and bright-eyed. She bore sturdy lambs that matured rapidly. But in spite of all of these attractive attributes, she had one pronounced fault. She was restless, discontent, a fence crawler. This one ewe produced more problems for me than almost all the rest of the flock combined. No matter what field or pasture the sheep were in, she would search all along the fences or shoreline, he says, because they were along the sea, looking for a loophole she could crawl through and start to feed on the other side. It wasn't that she lacked pasture. My fields were my joy and delight. No sheep in the district had better grazing. But it was an ingrained habit. She was simply never content with things as they were. Often when she had forced her way through some such spot in a fence or found a way around the end of the wire at low tide on the beaches, she would end up feeding on bare, brown, burned-up pasture of the most inferior sort. She never learned her lesson and continued to fence crawl time after time. Keller goes on to explain how she taught her lambs to do the same thing, to look for the holes and to crawl along the fences, and how they began to lead the rest of the flock through the same holes. When we look at Psalm 23 here and we read the words, "I shall not want, I shall not lack," those words, especially in Hebrew, echo back to words that were spoken to God's people in Deuteronomy. They're an echo of God's provision for his people during the time in the wilderness, when they didn't lack anything, when the Lord provided for them, when the Lord went before them and behind them. Deuteronomy 2 verse 7, "The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." It's the same Hebrew word. You have not lacked anything. I shall not want. I shall not lack. But when we think of God's people, especially when we think of the Israelites, they were discontent fence crawlers. Discontent with the Lord's provision, even though they had the Lord himself with them, even though they had him pouring out bread from heaven, manna, to take care of them, what was their response? Their response was grumbling. Their response was discontent. He had rescued them from slavery in Egypt, was bringing them to the promised land, and what did they want? They wanted to go back to Egypt. Why? Well, because we had onions and leeks in Egypt. Grass is always greener on the other side, even if it meant slavery. Discontentment. Fence crawling. Exodus 14, verse 11. "Was it because there are no graves in Egypt that you brought us out of here to die? Let us serve the Egyptians." Numbers 11. "The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic, but now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna.'" Typical discontentment. They don't see the lushness of the pasture they're standing on, the way that the Lord is providing for them, because they're looking at the dry, rocky, scrubby grass on the other side of the fence. God has provided for each and every need. He is protecting them, but that's not good enough. They only see what they don't have. What about us sitting here this morning? I'll ask that question again. Do you have enough? How much is enough? What is it going to take to make you happy or satisfied? The discontent fence crawler asks, "Do I have enough to make me happy or to satisfy my desires?" And the answer, the discontent answer to that question is no. No, I don't have enough. Not yet. And so as we keep a tight grip on what we have, we're also resenting the fact that we don't have even more. And even though for us here this morning we live well above the poverty line, we're surrounded by far more than the bare necessities, it's still easy for us to feel like we don't have enough stuff. Or like we don't have good enough stuff. Or new enough stuff. Or fast enough stuff. Grass is always greener on the other side. The Ten Commandments that we looked at this morning, the tenth commandment addresses specifically our fence-crawling tendencies. You shall not covet. That not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in my heart. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You visit her home for the first time and you think, boy, she has lots of nice stuff. I wish my house could look like hers. I wish I could have the square footage she has. I wish I could have the garage, shop, barn, workplace that he has. I live in a dump. It's embarrassing. I'll never have them over. Life must be pretty nice living in a house like that. Discontentment finding its way into our hearts. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Here's where that thought comes in. What if I were married to someone else? What if I was married to his wife? What if there was someone else out there for me? That other wife over there is always so friendly. Her kids are perfect. House is always clean. She always looks so nice. Why couldn't my wife have aged like that? I wish I could be married to someone like her. You shall not covet your neighbor's male servant or female servant, his ox or his donkey. This time of year, everyone seems to be squeezing in the last vacations before school starts. It's not fair that all the other families go on great vacations. Disney World or the Grand Canyon, even Europe are on cruises. We just go to Grandma's house in the county fair. That's not fair. If only I had the job like he has, or the hard-working employees that he has, or the tools and the equipment that he has, this isn't fair. The grass is greener on the other side. You shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. If I could just be as smart as him, my life would be so much better. If I was in shape like her, or if I was as athletic as he is, why couldn't I just have normal parents like my friends? Everything in my life is hard, below average, and poor. Everything in their life is easy, above average, and rich. The grass is so much greener in that pasture over there. And what we're focused on is the green pastures that belong to someone else instead of the lush provision that the Lord provides for us. It's not on what the Lord is giving us. It's not what he's provided for us, but rather we're focused on what we do not have. And we've convinced ourselves that what we don't have is better than what we do. We don't see all that the Lord has provided for us as our shepherd. And in that moment, people of God, in that moment of discontentment, at gazing at other pastures, that's when our shepherd finds us. And it's not just a few of us here and there that struggle with this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his or her own way. But what? And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the discontentment of us all. Our good shepherd comes to us as we longingly stare at pastures that aren't ours. And he lays down his life willingly to pay for our sin of discontentment and coveting. Our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, gives us what we actually need. And it's himself. And he does so as we are staring longingly for what we want and think we need. That's our good shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. And that, people of God, is where contentment is found. And that's what we'll look at secondly as we look at a content sheep. David is describing the Lord as his shepherd in our passage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have no other needs. There is nothing that I need. And as he's saying that, he's tapping into one of the truths of who God is. Yahweh is his name, all capital letters. We looked at that last time. That's the covenantal name of God. And what David is tapping into is the way that God provides for the needs of his people, the provision of the Lord, how he takes care of his people, the flock under his care. You can think of the wilderness wanderings when God was providing for their need for food, their need for clothing. Remember how their sandals didn't wear out during their time in the desert. But even bigger than that, we can think of why are they traveling through the wilderness in the first place? When it comes to God's people being brought out of Egypt, what's the bigger picture that's going on there? God is delivering his people from slavery, and he's bringing them to the promised land. And that there, people of God, is just a small example, a small picture of the salvation, of the deliverance that is ours in Jesus Christ. Being set free from the slavery of sin, being set free from the slavery of discontentment. And in Christ, having the freedom of contentment and comfort that's found in him alone. Through Christ, all of our needs are taken care of. When Jesus was on the earth, he, of course, took care of people's physical needs, right? He provided them with bread and fish when they were hungry. But each of those miracles point to something more, point to the larger spiritual reality, not just the physical, oh, I'm full now reality, but rather the spiritual fulfillment that is ours in Christ, the salvation that is ours in Christ. Why did Christ come? He came to deliver, to save his people, his sheep. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter for us, to save us from our slavery to sin and bring us home to our heavenly promised land. Now, what does that mean for us this morning? How has the Lord, our shepherd, got us to the point of not having anything that we need or not lacking anything? And the answer is through his Son, through the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, for us, for our sins. And that's our greatest need. Whether we realize it and see the lush pastures we're standing in or not. Paul, in Philippians, tells us that I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. What's the secret, Paul? What's the secret of being content in whatever circumstance or situation we find ourselves in? And this secret that Paul is telling us in God's Word is the secret of contentment for each and every one of us who wrestle with the question, how much is enough? He is content, we see, in Philippians 4, verse 10, if he's well fed or if he's hungry. I can be stuffed or starved. Either way, I'm content. Being content when you don't have enough. That's often what we think about when it comes to contentment. It's when we don't have enough, just being content with the little that we have. But I want you to notice how Paul is also talking about being content when you have plenty. He's content when he's well fed. He's content when he has plenty, when he has abundance, when he's abounding. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty, so having more than enough, and the secret of facing hunger. The secret of facing abundance, and the secret of facing need. Being content when you have plenty, when you are well fed. If this is the reality of your life, then the challenge is being able to say, I am happy with what I have, instead of the more you have, the more you want. For many of us, I would dare say that the challenge is not being content when we have nothing, but rather just the opposite. It's being content with all that we have. Paul can take or leave the honor, the being brought low or abounding, being brought high, full meals or family. His joy and his contentment, the secret to this contentment, isn't based on the surrounding situation. It's not based on the circumstance that he finds himself in. His joy, his contentment is based on the fullness that is his in Jesus Christ. And that, people of God, is where true contentment is found, in Christ alone. When our contentment isn't based on what we have or don't have, or the situation we find ourselves in, whether good, bad, or otherwise. And that, just to bring it all the way through to Psalm 23, is the reason we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We're focused on our Savior. We're focused on our shepherd instead of the situation we find ourselves in. Because we know our shepherd will take care of us. We know our shepherd will provide. Just like Sammy's shepherd took care of him, boys and girls. We know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and shepherd, will meet each and every one of our needs. Think about that for just a moment, people of God. I know we will all say that our relationship with Christ is more important than anything else. But practically, what does that mean? What does it look like to be more satisfied and content in all that we have in Christ, rather than in the stuff and in the circumstances of life that so quickly and so easily draw our attention away as we look at that pasture over there? I have everything I need in Christ. I can be happy and satisfied and content with what I have, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And that's where true contentment is found, in Christ alone. This contentment that Paul is describing is the contentment that comes from being full of Christ, from being in the right pasture. And it's only then that the situations and the circumstances and the stuff no longer matter. Because what matters is what David is saying: the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing else that I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Knowing the Lord, who he is and what he does, results in that fruit of contentment. Knowing the Lord as your shepherd results in not having any need. As we wrap up this morning, maybe you've been straying, wandering. Maybe you've been fence crawling, and maybe the shepherd has found you in a tough place, or you feel him lifting and bringing you back to the green pastures, calling you, pulling you back, leaving the 99 for the one. And if that's you this morning, don't fight against the Lord's calling. Trust him, because he will take care of you. He will provide for each and every one of your needs. He's the only one that can. Let him meet all of your needs. And when, in the course of life, we are tempted to think that there is something else, anything else out there, that we just have to have in order to make this life worth living, it's in that moment that we need to remind ourselves of that secret of being content, which really isn't much of a secret, because Paul lets the cat out of the bag when he says the contentment is found in Christ. Christ alone. By faith in Jesus Christ, you have all that you need. Being content is being happy with what you have, and in Christ you have it all. And that's why in Christ, we can confidently and boldly declare that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, thanking and praising you for all that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, as your sheep, you have provided for us abundantly. You have poured out your blessings again and again. We find ourselves in lush green pastures with all of our needs provided for in your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave up himself for us and our salvation. And for that, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And we ask for your forgiveness in those moments when our attention becomes distracted, when we become discontent, when we overlook all that you have given to us and our focus is just on what we don't have. Lord, in those moments, forgive us. Bring us back to you. Bring us back to the flock and continue your work in each of our hearts as we find the fullness of our contentment in our Lord and Savior and Shepherd Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.